The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
So there I was, Miz, yesterday, middle of the day, minding my own business, and then just Twitter blew up.
Yeah.
Just blew up, and I have not seen Tigers fans that happy outside of maybe when Miggy got the 3,000th hit, but even that, I don't think I've seen Tigers fans this happy since they were in the postseason.
Yeah.
News yesterday, it needed to happen. To find out what happened over the last 5 weeks that changed Chris Illich's mind from that he was pleased to he's got to go. We're talking to Cody Stavenhagen, who covers the Detroit Tigers for The Athletic. Does a great job on the Tigers beat. Cody, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing all right, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. So 5 or so weeks ago, Chris Illich said he was pleased with how things were going. I guess he wasn't that pleased. Yesterday, the news came. It seems like it was inevitable at some point based on just how the fans were, but I didn't think we'd get here, but here we are. So what are your thoughts? How do we get to this point that Chris Illich actually made the decision to part ways with Al Avila?
Yeah, I think look at the standings if you want to get a good idea of how we got here. Look at the standings over the past 7 years. The Tigers were on track for, I think, their fourth last place finish in the Al Avila era. Things have been particularly sloppy. And I think an important point is heightened expectations ended up being Al Avila's undoing as much as anything. There was so much optimism around the Tigers entering this season. Chris Illich went out and spent on some free agents. Those signings have not worked out. I think just the writing was on the wall. All the arguments for keeping Avila around, for trusting the process, that had kind of existed over the past few years, just it felt like they were totally out the window now. Whatever Chris said in July at the Red Wings press conference, it's hard to put much stake in to begin with, and things have not gotten better over the past month. So here we are now.
All right, so here we are. Things have not looked very good, needless to say, as you said, over the last month and really the course of the season, unlike last year where things got better after the first month or so, which is where we were having this conversation going into the beginning of the season. We were like, yeah, the Lions, they've got you feeling pretty good about that they're moving in the right direction. The Pistons seem to be making moves, and obviously fast forward with the next draft, they seem to be making the right moves. They're moving the right direction. The Red Wings, Steve Yzerman seems to be pushing the right buttons, and now in this offseason going the right direction. A lot of optimism, and fans going into the Tiger season felt that way. That optimism is all gone. So, Cody, let's give us some optimism for the future. What kind of move can Chris Illich make that he can bring somebody in and give that kind of optimism that we have about the other three pro teams right now in town that they're rebuilding in the right direction? What does Chris Illich have to do, or who can he hire that gives that kind of feeling to the fans for the Tigers too?
Well, yeah, number one, it really is a remarkable turnaround. It went from the Tigers, oh, they might be as close to the postseason as any of the Detroit teams, to, oh, this is kind of a train wreck. Who can he bring in? I mean, obviously, that's the big question. I think, you know, Chris Illich said yesterday that he will consider internal and external candidates, but he said it's going to be a wide, thorough search. Sure sounds to me like that means we want to go outside the organization. We want to bring in someone who really knows what they're doing. In my opinion, I think you want to look at someone who has roots in a successful organization and one of baseball's most forward-thinking organizations. Look at the front offices of the Dodgers, the Braves, the Astros, whoever it may be, because in addition to you need someone with the presence of a GM, someone with that it factor who you want on the phone making trades, you need someone who really has a clear vision for how to be the architect of an organization from the top down. And that's a hard job. It's a job that requires a lot of kind of intangible skills, but it's not something you can draw up on the fly. I think the Tigers definitely need some fresh blood, some fresh ideas from the GM chair.
So a name that I mentioned this morning, he has been a very successful general manager in baseball. He's won world championships. He now is an advisor to MLB. Whether they call him to talk to him for the job itself, or maybe they call him to think about his thoughts for who else might be good for the job, I think they got to call Theo Epstein, at least to have a conversation with him.
Yeah, you got to give him a call. I think it's odds are probably slim there. In the past, it's been hinted that if Theo were to return to being an executive, he'd be interested in an ownership stake in the team. I don't see that happening in Detroit, obviously. And, you know, it makes you wonder what else is in it for Theo. He's won in Boston. He's won in Chicago. Unless he just really misses the game, it's almost like he only has something to lose by going back into just into the executive chair. So everyone wants to talk about that name. I think if you're Chris Illich, you absolutely have to call and, hey, Theo, how's it going? You miss baseball, you know? But to me, it just feels like a long shot there.
Gotcha. So then, as you said, go to those organizations that have been successful, find someone. Do we have any idea of who those names are, or is this something that just over the course of the next couple of weeks, maybe we'll start to hear some more names? It's August, right? So there's plenty of time for them to really have an exhaustive search if they want to do it properly. But do we have any idea of who those names might be, or does that get really, like, really inside baseball beyond kind of what the fans might know who those names actually are?
Yeah, I think it gets pretty inside baseball, even from my perspective. I can list off a million names, you know, Brandon Gomes, Alex Slater from the Dodgers, Matt Arnold from the Brewers, Pete Petulia from the Astros. There are the Braves VP of scouting is very well regarded. And you can kind of go down the list, and next thing you know, you've come up with 20 names, and it's like, how much do we actually know about these guys? Not necessarily a lot. So until the Tigers really hone in on who they actually want to talk to, I don't want to speculate too much, but I don't know. You know, I already listed off five names. It wouldn't be hard to come up with five more.
I'm sure that'll be what it's like over the next few weeks is rumors and whatnot and learning about different guys. And then in a way, this is kind of like with Sam with recruiting, because there are so many names of people that Sam learns during recruiting that he'll never have to learn again and remember because Michigan doesn't actually offer or they pick somebody else. If you actually learn the names of every potential candidate, the only one's going to get the job. The other ones you're probably going to want to just forget. So it's going to be a very interesting piece of time over the next few weeks to see how that process goes. But whoever it is, tell us what they're going to be working with. It seems like they've got some decent talent in the farm system, the pitching in particular. They're working on fixing the bats. But what are your thoughts on, you know, whoever they're going to hire, what that person's going to have to work with, what they have right now?
I was thinking about this a lot last night. How good is the Tigers' general manager job? I think there's an argument that, yeah, you've got some young talent. You've got Riley Green. You've got a historic franchise, a city that'll show up and support its team when teams are winning. There's an argument to be made. Oh, maybe you're not that far away from turning things around. There's also an argument to be made. Well, the farm system has thinned out very quickly now that your top guys are in the major leagues. ESPN ranked the farm 24th out of 30 the other day. The lack of depth is apparent. You have some good pieces, but you also have kind of some mismatch pieces at the MLB level. The contracts to Javi Baez and Eduardo Rodriguez don't look great right now. Those are two big paydays already on your books. Chris Illich, I don't know, he lived up to his word and he spent this past off season, but he's not necessarily going to be writing blank checks. Overall, I think that's where I land. I think it's a middle of the pack type GM job where there's some things to like, there's some things to not like as well. Ultimately, you do have some talent here. I think you're not walking into a situation where there's no talent. I think you have AJ Hinch, you have Chris Fetter. Those are two very bright minds that I think a GM would love to work with. I think those are really some of the positives, and you can see the right person coming in and pressing the right buttons, and maybe you're able to get this thing off the ground rather quickly.
So you mentioned Hinch in particular. We love Chris Fetter on these parts, needless to say, as for all his time that he spent at U of M. But you mentioned AJ Hinch's name, and for that one, is that a sure thing that he's the guy? If they bring in a general manager, is that one of those conversations like, how will you work with him? Or If you don't like him, what are your other options? You think that Hinch is pretty safe at this stage? I mean, the team has struggled both on the field and with the management side, so that not sure if the manager side is even safe in the current context, because you are bringing a new GM that might want their own guy.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I get the sense that Hinch is pretty safe. Chris Illich even talked about Hinch is basically going to be part of this search process. I think A.J. Hinch will have a lot of say in who the Tigers ultimately bring in, and in theory that means bringing in someone who will want to keep him around as manager. I get the criticisms because it's been a rough year, obviously, for the Tigers, and A.J. Hinch is not blameless in that. He is the manager, and this team has vastly underperformed. That said, he has a great reputation around the game. Just knowing AJ, having been around the game, I get the sense he's the type of person I would want leading my franchise. So I think ultimately he's definitely safe and will have a lot of influence in whatever happens next.
A few more minutes with Cody Stavenhagen, who does a terrific job on the Tigers beat for The Athletic here on Sports Talk 1050. WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. So we've been following, obviously, the guys going up and down. Injuries have been an insane part of the season, and that is generally out of most people's control. So you have to kind of give a little bit of that to the for the manager as well when you have that many players that you're missing. But one of the guys that they had high expectations for this year, rookie Spencer Torkelson, got sent back down. Are you hearing anything about how he's been doing since he got sent down?
Yeah, it looks like he's been off to a little bit of a slow start. I watched some video. You could see kind of some subtle swing alterations. Looked like he had a little more of a load, but there was nothing that was super striking. So really interesting to see what's going on with Torkelson. I know the Tigers would like to get him back up to the major league level before the end of the year, but I think you've got to wait until he catches some fire in Toledo. I think at this point you have to worry about his confidence level a little bit too. He struggled badly at the major league level. He goes to Toledo. It's not like he's tearing it up immediately. I think he's put a few good swings on some balls, but it hasn't necessarily come easy. So the Tigers obviously want to see progress from Torkelson. I think you want him back up in the big leagues by September, because you want to be able to feel good about your future and about Torkelson being your first baseman as you head into next season. But Tork's going to have to show a little more in AAA before we can get there.
And that's obviously, they're hoping to get him back, get him rolling, and he's supposed to be one of these key pieces moving into the future. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Any other guys that you're watching right now that are down in the minors, you're like, especially after the draft just happened, they're trying to, you know, add some more talent into that, you mentioned the farm system that had been depleted by bringing so many guys up. Is there anybody down there that maybe we haven't heard about or haven't talked about recently that you think, whether it's a September call-up that we could just see just to get a little taste, or maybe in the very near future you expect to be a big part of this franchise?
Well, yeah, the Tigers brought up Kerry Carpenter yesterday, and he went 0-for-4 with three strikeouts, a reminder that the big leagues are really hard. But I do think there is some more under-the-radar talent in the farm system. I mean, Colt Keith got injured early in the year, but was having a real nice year at West Michigan. I think Christian Santana, one of the young international shortstops, was getting a lot of hype back in February, kind of fell off the map. But if you go look at his numbers, his on-base percentage is through the roof. He's got a great plate approach. His actual batting average and the hit tool came along a little slowly, but he started to catch some fire down in the lower rungs of the minors. Him, Roberto Campos, some of these other younger Latin prospects are the type of guys who could really change your fortunes if the Tigers are able to hit on any of those. And then there is some good pitching. Guys like Ty Madden and Dylan Smith have had real nice years in the minor leagues, and I think that bodes well for your pitching depth as well.
All right, last one for you, and this is less about the team and more about you and your peers that are covering this team. Now, for your job, it's a little different, because when you're on the Athletic beat, it's not writing gamers every single day. You're doing other things while you're covering the games. You're definitely doing other things and able to find some really fun feature stories that you can write up and that kind of stuff. But you have any conversations with your fellow the beat reporters that have to write gamers day in and day out? It's got to be as hard as a job as they've had in this business, trying to come up with stories about this team on a daily basis when they lose as often as they do.
Yeah, I do not envy those who have to write gamers. even from my seat, it's very hard, and it's harder to find fun, creative angles when the team is losing and when it seems like all the players are in a bad mood and the clubhouse is empty. It's definitely been a difficult team to cover, you know. It hasn't always been incredibly fun. I think you just spelled it out. Sometimes it seems like Groundhog Day, where the Tigers lose and haven't always necessarily found interesting ways to lose, or when they do, it's just an abject disaster. So absolutely, it has been a challenge.
Cody, appreciate your time. Great stuff on the beat. We'll definitely be following along as the Tigers are looking for their new general manager. And as they go through this process, we'll be talking to you down the road. Thanks for your time.
All right. Absolutely, Ira. Thanks.
Thanks to Cody Stavenhagen for joining us here on the show. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, of course, we're going to get to the MGoBlog Roundtable. On the other side of the break, we'll get back to Michigan Athletics here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.